Yeah, just keep away from each other. Okay. Oh, so why you rule? And common sense rules. Okay, welcome to our annual outdoor Thanksgiving shiur, I guess we'll call it. Hopefully the weather will hold out for the next hour or so, and we'll...
Is that just recording over there?
Is someone recording?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, okay. Okay, so I thought we'd talk about a sugya today that's really a sugya that permeates Sefer Bereishis. And there's a basic hanocha, basic premise when you approach Sefer Bereishis, is that Sefer Bereishis is not really a Sefer of Halacha. So that premise is already taught to us by the very first Rashi and Chumash. Rashi introduces by telling to us that if the Torah was only a work of Halacha, then it should have begun with HaChadosh HaZelachem Rosh Chodesh, and that's the first real mitzvah. Truth to be told, there are a few handful of mitzvahs, a smattering of mitzvahs here and there, and gracious, there's a Purvo, and there's Milag, and Anosha. But obviously, those are almost kind of like secondary to the main themes of Sefer Bereishis. And therefore, when we talk about these parshiyos, so we're not really talking about the world of Halacha. Nevertheless, Sefer Bereishis has become an entire world of Halacha in and of itself. Because it's opened up for us that area of Torah, of mitzvahs kodem matan Torah. That very notion of shmiras mitzvahs before matan Torah is something that appears and is discussed by the Gedolei HaRishonim, the Chazal, throughout Sefer Bereishis. And the most clear, the most obvious, the most almost blatant violation, so to speak, of mitzvahs kodem matan Torah appears in Parshas Vayetze. So I thought we'd spend a little bit of time talking about the sugya of Bein b'tam halacha, bein b'tam machshava, hashkofa, the role of mitzvahs pre-matan Torah. So of course the sugya begins with the famous Maimon Chazal that actually Rashi quotes back in Parshas Toldos. Eikim sheshoma avra b'koli, v'yishmo mishmariti mitzvosech v'kosei v'sereisei. So Kadosh Baruch Hu praises Avraham Avinu for observing the mitzvahs of Torah. Mitzvosei, so say Chazal, we have a tradition that Avraham Avinu kiyam kol haTorah kula kedem shenitna. That Avraham Avinu fulfilled all the mitzvot of Torah even before it was given. And even though the Gemara only speaks explicitly about Avraham Avinu, the assumption is the same is true for Yitzchok and the same is true for Yaakov. And the same is true for the Shvatim. That the others, Kedoshim observed Kol Torah Kula Kedem Shenitna. Following this Maimon Chazal, of course, there are some very, very serious problems with this statement of Chazal. And of course, the most serious problem is Parshas Vayetze, the Avraham Avinu finds himself, albeit it wasn't the original plan, but Lamaisi ends up finding himself married to two sisters, which of course, that's a level, if not entirely, will be a blatant violation of Gidei Arayos. Now, even though there was some dinim of Gidei Arayos that were given to Bnei Noach also, Achazishto happened not to be one of them. So for the pure technical world of Halacha, Yaakov Avinu was not doing anything wrong. But of course, according to this Maimon Chazal, there was something very, 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 very wrong with his actions. Having Yaakov Avinu remain married to two sisters, something that the Torah would eventually ask him with Nisachom and Nisachoris. So that's the background as to why we chose to discuss this topic, Dafka, this week. And again, we'll try to talk a little bit about both the specifics of this dilemma of Yaakov Avinu, as well as the more general question about the others observing Kol Torah Kula Kedem Shenitna. So before we get to the specifics of Yaakov Avinu marrying two sisters, we have to almost ask ourselves this notion that the others observed Kol Torah Kula Kedem Shenitna. How in the world did they know what Kol Torah Kula was? Did the Kodesh Baruch Hu tell it to them? The Kodesh Baruch Hu told it them as a tzivoy? Then obviously that would undermine the very fact that it wasn't a mitzvah yet. So presumably HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give it to them as a mitzvah. It was something that they figured out on their own. How did they figure it out on their own? How in the world can a person come to that realization? A person's going to sit and contemplate. I don't know if I would sit around in a dark room all by myself and think and think and think and all of a sudden realize, oh yeah, by golly, I should take square boxes and put parshas in them and put straps on. That's of course what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do, right? I figured it out in a second, no problem. Or, let's say, a person is sitting around a desert island, he doesn't have a chumash, he doesn't know anything, and he realizes, oh, by golly, it's a chatzei sayyam in Erev Pesach. Oh, It must be that there's a mitzvah tashbisa right now. I can figure it out all on my own. How in the world does that happen? So there's a famous biur. We spoke about this biur from Rabbi Chanan. We spoke about this in many, many different contexts over the years. I don't remember whether we spoke about it this year as well. It's a famous biur from Rabbi Chanan Wasserman that appears in Kuntras Divrei Sefer, Chanan Chelik Beis of Chelik Shiurim, where the beautiful, beautiful, Chanan doesn't mean my stamp of approval, but a beautiful, beautiful whole chibur, so to speak, or probably an entire piece about dealing with some of the notions of the Karech of Chachamim and Ishkach Rechav Lachad of Minat Torah and things of that nature. In the middle of that piece, Rabbi Chanan deals with the following phenomena. He deals with most of his comments emanate from a Ritva that appears in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah, we just spoke about this yesterday, about Tkiyas Shofar. So the Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah in the first parak that Amra Kadosh Baruch Hu Imru Lefani Malchius Ketei Shetah Michui Aleichem. The Baruch Shalom says to us in Rosh Hashanah, recite the Pesukim of Malchius, and by doing so, that'll counter the Kabbalah Sabach Hashemayim. Imru Lefani Zichreinas Ketei Shetah Zichreinichem Lefani Lateva. It is a Kadosh Baruch Hu speaking. Kadosh Baruch Hu saying to us, say Malchus, say Zichreinas, say Shofars. So the Ritva was going to Ikvel, says Rebbe's Rebbe, the Ramban, that the recitation of the Pesukim of Malchus, Zichreinas, and Shofars are not Midaraisa. They're only Midarabonim. Unlike Shitas Rashi. Rashi has a unique Shita in Chumash and Rashi Masech Rosh Hashanah, that the saying of the Pesukim are actually Akim Deraisa. But the Ramban says, based on the simple reading of Masech Rosh Hashanah, that's not true. That there's no mitzvah deraisa whatsoever to say Pesukim without the most of Rosh Hashanah. Im kei, what did Chazal mean when they said Imru lefani malchias? What's mean Imru lefani malchias? Because Baruch Hu saying, I'm Rechadish Baruch Hu. So the Ritva explains that the Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us in different ways. Sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us b'teres tzivoy, as a commandment, and sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't command us to do something, but he simply reveals to us derech remez as to what he wants us to do. It's not a tzivoy. A tzivoy means adav shem mishalem and put on tefillin. A tzivoy means achim rishit tashmis tov b'tefillin. The Kadosh Baruch Hu says explicitly what to do. Does the tzivo, Shekh Rishon Mitzvah Tzivot. But other times, the Kaddish Baruch Hu was not mitzav us things explicitly, but rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to almost figure it out on our own, and that's what's called the Ratzon Hashem, without being the tzivo Hashem. And the Ritva says that's exactly what the Gemara means here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not mitzav, was not mitzav in Meshavet to tell Klai Yisrael as the tzivo derais, you have to Baal Shofar Rosh Hashanah. But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did do is that he dropped a hint. He wrote a pasuk, and Hashem lekechem. He dropped in zichron true mikol kodesh, and we were supposed to be smart enough to figure out what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants of us in this world. That's the ratzon Hashem, not the tzivui Hashem. Rabbi Chanan goes a step further, and he explains that maybe all dinim derabanan in a certain sense the ratzon Hashem, not the tzivui Hashem. That's already another time, another place. But then Rabbi Chanan continues and says, how would somebody figure out what the ratzon Hashem is? That's so much harder. The Tzivei Hashem is very easy, because the Tzivei Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu said it. So he said it, he said it. How do you know what the Ratzon Hashem is? He doesn't tell it to you. So the answer is very simple, says Rabbi Chanan. We know from relationship, interpersonal relationships, that the only way for us to know the Ratzon of somebody is if we know the person. If we spend a lot of time talking to the person, and we know the things that they do say, we know the things that they do ask us to do, the Tzivui we do know, so then we get a sense how that person ticks. We know what the person wants. We all know. That's Jem, you want a bracha, but you're married for many, many happy, healthy years of marriage. So you'll know as you're married for a long time, you know exactly what the other person wants. You don't even need them to tell you. It's a double, but you know what the next line is before they say it. And you live with somebody for a long time, and you get to know them, and you talk to them, so you know exactly how they think. Rabbi Chanan says, those who are in sync with the Tzivui Hashem are the ones who can understand what the Ratzon Hashem is. When you spend a lot of time with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so then you'll be able to figure out what the Baruch Hashem wants of you. And this is something that appears in other areas of halacha and machshav as well. We know the Ramban develops this yisod in many, many places, in different dimensions of this yisod. The Ramban speaks about the notion of novel b'shus ha-Torah, a person who's not in violation of any of the tzivuyim of the Ribbono Shel Olam, but yet he's doing anything and everything that the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want. He's eating a lot, drinking a lot, so involved in it. Elam hazeh, gosh, so many things that are so antithetical to what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. Everything was glad kosh l'mahadim v'mahadim. He didn't do any of it. He didn't violate one iota of tzivuyim of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But he violated the ratzon of Hashem Yisbarach. Then the Ramban has the same idea, depicts the same famous Ramban in Parashas Emor. It's actually, we're going to talk about it in Shir on Sunday, where the Ramban discusses the mitzvah of Shabboson on Shabbos, Shabbos and Yom Tov, Tishbais, where the Ramban says that the person could theoretically not violate any of the law of Shabbos. He's not in violation of any of the law of Tesvalach, he's not an Avdan at all, and he missed the boat. He blew what Shabbos is supposed to be. He missed the Gamer, what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted of us. A person could theoretically observe every prat of Uchus Chometz and miss the boat of Pesach. He could observe, he could hear every one of the kailas of the Kishayv al Chumras, and he missed the boat. He missed the boat. He missed the whole theme of the day. So we find this throughout our mitzvah observance that there's a tzivah and there's a ratzah. The only way for a person to be able to get to that level of ratzah, which is so much harder to discern, is if you're really, really holding, if you have a relationship with the mitzvah. If you have a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know what Kadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol thinks. You know what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants of you. If you know what Kadosh Baruch Hu really wants, then it'll be easy to figure out what the real true Ratzon of the Ribbono Shel Olam is all about. And perhaps that's the idea, that's the notion of the Avos Kol D'Matan Torah. The Chazal are telling us, with this Messiah, this tradition that the Avos HaKadoshim observe Kol Tarakul HaKadosh Shenitna, the Chazal are telling us is that the Avos was so in sync with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. They were so close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. They were so Kaviyachol married to Kadosh Baruch Hu. They knew exactly what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. The reason why, if we would sit in a desert island and we could never figure out Tashbisa, or we can't even figure out Tashbisa without Gemara's open for 3 months. The reason why we have such difficulty figuring out what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants of us is because we don't spend enough time with Him. Because we're not mafakim ourselves to Him. Because we're not totally in sync with the Ribbono Shel Olam's thought process. But the Ritzaynachim and the Ritzaynai, if we would be totally, completely live our lives, totally think of the Ribbono Shel Olam's realm of thought, so then we would figure out the Ratzon Hashem in a second. There would not be any confusion what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants of us in this world. So by telling us that the Avos HaKadoshim, not only did they observe the mitzvahs, but they figured it out on their own. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand what level, what darg of ruchnius that is to be able to figure out mitzvah Torah on your own? That's why they were the Avos. Because they had reached such a closeness to Kadosh Baruch, such a dveikus b'Hashem Yisbarach, they had reached such an understanding of Kadosh Baruch Hu that they were able to connect the dots. Tired mitzvahs for the rest of us, because we're not so smart, so we can't figure it out. So Kadosh Baruch had to walk us through, had to hold our hands and say, "Okay, guys, put on tefillin today. Okay, guys, eat matzah today. Okay, guys, don't wear Shabbos today." If you're really, 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 really smart, you could have to figure it out on your own. We can't. Not so smart. If you're really, really close to your Baruch Hashem, we can't. We're not so close. If you're really in sync with your Baruch Hashem, we can't, because we're not in sync. But the Avos HaKadosh Baruch Hu were. So the starting point is that the Avos figured it all out on their own, and they fulfilled all the mitzvahs, albeit as Eid Mitzvah V'yaysa, as not as an expression of Tzivah Hashem Yisbarach, but as an expression of the Ratzon of Hashem Yisbarach. So come to Ramban and says, Abba Zoy, what was going on with Yechav Avinu Pashas V'yaysa? Why was Yaakov Avinu married to two sisters? What happened to this grandiose imagery of Ratzon Hashem? Comes Ramban with his famous teretz and he says, "B'medavam amurim, the others volunteer to observe the mitzvahs. Only volunteer anyway. That's only in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, they did not volunteer to observe the mitzvahs. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu was only married to two sisters in Chutz La'aretz, and that's what the Ramban explains. That's exactly why Rachel Imenu died. Dafka, as they entered the Ve'er, Unkibas Eretz Lavei Frasa, as they were entering into Eretz Yisrael." That's what was Nigzim and Shemaim, the Rachel Imenu had to die because Yaakov Avinu could not be married to two sisters at that point. Rachel was the one who came second. So that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned it, because Yaakov Avinu was okay to marry two sisters as long as it was Chutz La'aretz, not in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban goes on to take this idea, this teretz that he gives about Eretz Yisrael, and he extends it even further. The Ramban says, this Yisoid that I'm telling you is not just the Yisoid about Primat and Torah. that pre-matan Torah mitzvahs can be volunteered at Eretz Yisrael, but not shayach and chutz l'aretz. This is a yisod that appears post-matan Torah as well. It means there is a significance to mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael in contrast to chutz l'aretz. This is a yisod that permeates our world even after the Torah was given. For us, it's not that mitzvahs in chutz l'aretz are eino mitzvah yoseh. It's not that mitzvahs in chutz l'aretz are only derabanan, chalila v'chalila. That's absurd. But the Ramban says that of course mitzvahs that derais in chutz l'aretz. The Ramban, they're not shayla, mishtayis, kamaras, befeirish, sugars, and kedushin. As long as they're not agricultural mitzvahs, they're not in chutz l'aretz. But chomis aguf, of course, in your haggis. We put on film in a Torah this morning, not mid derabanan. We're going to keep Shabbos tomorrow night, mid derais, not mid derabanan. But all of the das and the Ramban and his wildest dreams that the mitzvah chutz l'aretz are derabanan. It's much crazy. I was once giving a shiur about the rices and the rabbanans, because the rabbanans might say the rices. Somebody raised their hand and said, according to Ramban, they're all mitzvahs around the rabbanan. I said, what? No, come on. I said, that's not what the Ramban says. Not in a wildest, read the Ramban. I said, I'm off the wall. What's the Ramban? But the Ramban says that there is a concept in HaTorah, a difference between HaTorah between mitzvahs and the rices and mitzvahs and chutzlars. Not that you're not mechuyv in mitzvahs with the rices and chutzlars. That's crazy. But there's a different kind of a mitzvah the Ramban says, even post-Matan Torah, there's a different kind of a mitzvah. What's the nature and difference? So the Ramban says that the ikar shmiras and mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. We have to do mitzvah chutz l'aretz with the rice, because the Baruch Shalom said so, but the ikar mokum of mitzvahs is in Eretz Yisrael, and mitzvah chutz l'aretz is almost like a hachana for Eretz Yisrael. It's like a preparation for Eretz Yisrael. But the ikar mitzvahs are mokum shmiras and mitzvahs is tach in Eretz Yisrael. Why is that? Ramban says, that's the Beis Hashem. That's the Ika Mokom of the Ramban Shalom Shechina. That's the place where you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shmiras HaMitzvahs is an Avedis Hashem. So Eved Hashem, Bevei Sai. And Nebuch, we're in Chutz La'aretz. We have no choice. We keep Mitzvah in Chutz La'aretz also. Not we, because it's a nice thing to do. Not Medovim, but they're Aisa. But the nature of the Mechayiv is a different kind of a Mechayiv. There's a state in Ramban. So it's very unclear from the Ramban if there's any halachic significance to this distinction of his. But the Ramban tells us that Mitzvah in Chutz La'aretz are a certain sense, a lower level of mitzvahs, even post-Matan Torah. It's not clear, did the Ramban mean any practical difference to this? Let's say the Moshe, I don't think the Ramban could envision the Shaila, but the following Shaila. It's 8 o'clock in the morning, a person is in chutzpah, and they know they're going to be in Eretz at 8:30 in the morning. Should they put on tefillin at 8 o'clock, should they wait till 8:30? Is there a maila to wait till 8:30? That's all the time. Guy's flying to Eretz, flight's landing in an hour. He wants to jump the gun and daven shachris on the plane because he's going to rush on. But wait a second, if he daven shachris on the plane, he's putting on tefillin over Cyprus, over the Mediterranean. He's not putting on tefillin in Eretz Yisrael. Should he wait for another hour and put on tefillin in Eretz Yisrael? Should he wait for Krishma another hour to say Krishma in Eretz Yisrael? Is there such a din? Is there such an idea? Is there such an Indian whatsoever? Very unclear. We're going to look in Shulchan Aruch for this, when the guy was flying over Cyprus. This was Elal Adas. It's unclear whether Ramban says such a thing or not. Very, very unclear. Zach, you have to find out for me whether it's true. The rumor is that Rav Nevinzel told people that they should put tefillin on a second time.
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
Yeah. They should dive it on the plane and put it on a second time.
Yeah, when you get that.
Yeah, because it's Ramban?
I assume so.
Okay. It's hard to know. You know, Nevinzel puts on tefillin in chol time anyway, so yeah. it's hard to know what the... But I imagine it was this Ramban that was leading him on to this idea. So Rabbi said, this idea that Ramban is developing for us, that Eretz Yisrael is the Ika Makom Shmiras Mitzvahs, does this fit into our model of what we think Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is all about? We usually associate Eretz Yisrael in terms of the world of mitzvahs, in terms of Halacha, not Hashkafa right now, in terms of the world of mitzvahs, we understand that Shemitah is on in Eretz Yisrael, in terms of Maisa is on in Eretz Yisrael, Bikurim, maybe, today's nice, but Basra. We understand that mitzvahs that please Baretz apply to Eretz Yisrael. Mitzvahs that are ground oriented, that are dirt, that are agricultural oriented, we understand that those mitzvahs are very, very much in sync with Eretz Yisrael. But what does tefillin have to do with Eretz Yisrael? What is Shabbos have to do with Eretz Yisrael? What is lulav? What is tashbih have to do with Eretz Yisrael? What is it about Eretz Yisrael that creates this almost like two-tier level of shmiras and mitzvahs? That according to the Ramban, is the source for what Yaakov Avinu did or didn't do. So how do we understand this? What's this all about? So there is another Ramban that appears at the beginning of Maseches Gittin. I think the Yeshiva is supposed to learn Gittin one of these years. It's an up-and-coming cycle, potentially. So I thought it was supposed to be next year at this time. So it's not, I don't know. Keep you posted. But hopefully the next couple of years, the beginning of Maseches Gittin, you have to wait for all the boys learned in Herzl Chabriyaz got to forget it, so they may have to push it off another year. Shir Shicha. So the famous mission in the beginning says, Gittin gives you the Gvulas Aretz vis-a-vis Hamid Gittin Gittin Sayam, so Hashem Refarnech Refarnechtam. So Taisus already on this spot points out that the Gvulas Aretz seem to be slightly different between what constitutes Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis certain areas of Halacha and vis-a-vis other areas of Halacha. Shubhis and Baisus seem to have one set of rules and other things seem to have other sets of rules. It's very unclear what's going on. So Taisus tries very, very hard to make universal boundaries. So the Ramban and other Rishonim on the spot say that no, it doesn't bother us, it's not a problem. The reason why we find different boundaries of Eretz Yisrael is because Eretz Yisrael has different dimensions to it. There are some mitzvahs that emanate from Kedushas Ha'aretz, Kedushas Karka. Those are the agricultural mitzvahs, the Trumas, the Baisos, the Shemitah. So those mitzvahs work with a certain agricultural boundaries, Kedusha Rishonim, Kedusha Shniyah, Kibush Yochid, Kibush Rabim, you know, a lot of things. Because Kulchan, a lot of things that Kosh Valeh, those are rules that govern the agricultural mitzvahs. And then you have other aspects of Eretz Yisrael that have nothing to do with the ground. Says the Ramban, there's Kedushas Ha'aretz in terms of Kedushas Karka, and then there's Chibas Ha'aretz. The fact that Eretz Yisrael is a beloved place, Eretz Yisrael is an Eretz HaNivcharis, it's a place chosen by Kodesh Baruch, it's the land that was given to the Yavas HaKadoshim. That has nothing to do with the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. It's a different halacha. The two different roles of Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael B'Teiris Karka, Eretz Yisrael B'Teiris Mokum, B'Teiris Chibas Ha'aretz. That's what the Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, that no matter what your position on Kedushin Rishon, the Kitchen of Shaita, the Kitchen of Lassan Lavoi, whether you think Shemitah is Deraisa, Derabadim today, whether you think Shemitah is Deraisa, whatever you think about all the other agricultural mitzvahs, that doesn't detract Yehuzeh from the Chibas Ha'aretz, the fact that Eretz Yisrael is a special place. Some Sefer writes, a proof positive for the days of the Yavos. The days of the Yavos, there were no mitzvah tluyos baretz. There weren't chayiv in the mitzvah tluyos baretz yet. The mitzvah tluyos baretz didn't kick in until 14 years after they entered the Eretz Yisrael. Shev shekim, shev shechilku. So you're going to tell me that the days of the Yavos, Eretz Yisrael wasn't special to me? So why are the Yavos living there for? Why did Yitzchak wasn't allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael? What do you mean Eretz Yisrael wasn't special in the days? Of course it was special in the days of the Yavos. So which aspect of Eretz Yisrael existed in the days of the Yavos? The aspect of Chibas Aretz existed, not the aspect of Dushas Karka. So the Chaura, it's this dimension of Chibas Aretz that is the engine that's driving this Ramban here as well. That if Eretz Yisrael was just an agriculturally special place, so that it would make absolutely no sense that there should be any mila of putting on tefillin in Eretz Yisrael versus putting on tefillin in Chutz La'aretz. And the model of Yaakov Avinu, I'm only going to volunteer, not marrying two sisters in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz, wouldn't make any sense. The whole concept wouldn't make any sense. If Eretz Yisrael only speaks to the dirt, to the mud of Eretz Yisrael, the soil, what does that have to do with other mitzvahs? So Eretz says, no, because there are two dimensions of Eretz Yisrael. It has Kedushas Karka, and it has Chibas Aretz as well. And Chibas Aretz is Neveya, it emanates from the fact that Ein Hashem L'kech Abba, it's Eretz of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Eretz She'ein Hashem L'kech Abba. It's the Eretz and Nivcharis, it's the Eretz that was Niftachat Eretz to the Yavos HaKadoshim. That aspect of Eretz Yisrael has nothing to do with the dirt, nothing to do with the soil of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, it's the place of Ikah Shmiras HaMitzvahs, it's the Beis Hashem, it's the Ikah Mokum Shmiras HaMitzvahs. It could be that this idea that Eretz Yisrael is unique, not just in terms of Karka, but in terms of Hashuas HaShechina, and Mokrav of Beis Hashem, and all of the above. So it could be that's the root of what the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Kelim, and the Mishnah lists off the different geographical levels of Kiddush in the world. There's some places that are more Kaddish than others. So the Mishnah says that the Heichol is more Kaddish, the Anzara, the Azara is more Kaddish, the Harvayi is more Kaddish, the Kaddish Shalayim. It gives you a whole list of different degrees of Kiddushah. And for each level of Kedusha, the Mishnah says there are certain dinim that are negay in one place, not negay in the other place. So when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, the Mishnah says Eretz Yisrael is Kedush and Kol Haaretz. Eretz Yisrael is Mokadosh and Tiber. So what halachas express the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael above and beyond Chutz La'aretz? So if I was writing the Mishnah, I would have said Eretz Yisrael is Shemitah, Trumas, Ma'isras. The Mishnah doesn't say that. What does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says from Eretz Yisrael you bring the grain for the korban omer and the korban shtei halechem. What is he? Omer and shtei halechem, that's what demarcates it. So that's why you got to stop the omer and shtei halechem. So the Chavim explained that the golden Mishnah is to explain, not that Eretz Yisrael is more Kaddish agriculturally. The theme of the Mishnah is that there's Kaddishus HaMikdash in the world. And the Mikdash is a very, very big area. There's the tiny, tiny area of Kaddish HaKadoshim. And then it spreads out a little bit to the Heichel, a little bit more to the Azar, a little bit more to the Habayim, a little bit more to the Shabbat. Those are all expansions of Kaddishus Mikdash. Mikdash means the Makom Hashem, Makom Hashuas HaShchina. Eretz Yisrael is the end zone of Kedushas Mikdash. Some parts of Kedushas Mikdash you can eat Karbanos in, some parts you can offer Karbanos in, some parts you can't. But Eretz Yisrael is considered to be the outermost perimeter, outermost precincts of Kedushas Shechina B'Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's home. That's what Mikdash Mikdash is. So Eretz Yisrael is still Ein Hashem L'kech Abo. So when the Gemara and the Mishnah is trying to highlight how does Eretz Yisrael express itself in the world of Halacha, it's Kedusha. There are certain kabbalas that can only be brought from Eretz Yisrael. You can't bring shtei lechem and omer from wheat that grew in Kansas. You can only bring it from grain that grew in Eretz Yisrael. Because it has to be from Beis Hashem. You have to bring the kabbalas from the Beis Hashem to the Beis Hashem. So this whole idea that there's a second dimension of Eretz Yisrael, nothing to do with Kedushas Karka, seems to really, really be part of this whole theory of the Ramban. That's what the Ramban means in the beginning of Masechet Gittin. That's what the Mishnah Kedah means. That's what the Ramban means in Parshas Toldos. The mitzvahs primarily apply in Eretz Yisrael because that's the Beis Hashem. And even post-Latin Torah, there's a certain degree of truth to that statement. Again, it doesn't mean that we're not Chaim and HaTorah in Chutzpah. It's 100,000,000% Chaim and HaTorah. But Afa B'chein, it's a little darker, it's a different level of obligation, again, which may or may not have halakhic ramifications. So Chol Ponim, we have this idea of volunteering mitzvahs, Kodem Matan Torah. If you're smart enough to figure it out, then you too can be zoichah to fulfill mitzvahs as an enemy to v'yoseh. But even within those mitzvahs that we find that the Yavos HaKadoshim volunteered, we find a very strange phenomenon, because it would appear that the others volunteered to do mitzvahs that were historical in nature, and really didn't make any sense before the historical events that triggered those mitzvahs kicked in. So I understand, let's say, a Kol Matan Torah, you want to volunteer to not wear shatnez. I understand. It makes sense. You want to tell me I'm going to volunteer before the Torah is given to do, I don't know, to do a bit of Shulchan Ken. I got it. Okay. If you're smart enough, you have Ruch HaKadosh, you figure out the Ratzon Hashem, then come on with murder. But there are certain mitzvahs that only take on significance after certain events happen in history. Let's say, for example, a little bit of Pesachim. It's kind of hard to envision a celebration of Pesach without Yetzias Mitzrayim. And yet we find that the others, and those associated with the others, seem to be included in this maimer of observing mitzvahs. They observed even those mitzvahs. So we find two maimer chazal that seem to point in this direction, two midrashim. One is the midrash of last week's parasha, that the shnei gadai izid, that Rivka prepares the two goats, because it was Erev Pesach, and it was time to shecht Chorban Pesach. That's the reason why we have a minute to say, we say Tfilas Tal on first day Pesach. Because that was the day of the brachas, Vitan L'Cholakim, was said on the first day of Pesach, Vital L'Shabayim. So Yitzchak Avinu is eating Korban Pesach? I don't understand that. I understand Yitzchak Avinu is, I don't know, he's putting mezuzahs on his door, I got that. I understand he said Kriya Shema, I got that. I understand he's not eating Chaylev, okay, that I got. Yitzchak Avinu's Bria Korban Pesach, I understand. Korban Pesach only makes sense after the events happened. That impression is Vayera, so Rashi goes to the Medrash, Shematzas Ofer Vayechelu, even Lot. Again, Lot picked up something from Avram's house. You know, it's like people, they don't know anything, but at least the Pesach Seder Chosh they observed. So Lot wasn't Shavik Tzadik, but his uncle used to make a Pesach Seder. He also made a Pesach Seder, Matzas Ofer Vayechelu. He's making matzas. He's a Chassidish, he's making matzas on the Lela Seder. Wow, unbelievable. We don't do that anymore. Matzas Ofer Vayechelu. Says Rashi, name the Medrash, Malam Shepesach Oyer. Does it make any sense to observe Matzah, Maror, Pesach? Well, Lord Masechus Pesach, it makes sense to observe the Bitzas Halayla, Prim, Yitzias Mitzrayim. It seems very bizarre. How is that even an expression of the Ratzon Hashem? So it could be that the answer to this question is part of a fundamental yisoy that appears in the Beis HaLevi, especially in Chumash, commenting on the pasuk in Parshas Bo, "V'gadav t'vadimcha v'yomu leim avavo zeh asar shamim b'tzaisim mitzrayim." So Beis HaLevi suggests that the diktuk in the pasuk, the conjugation of the words of the pasuk, is a little bit backwards. But responding to a question, why are we doing what we're doing? Ba'avor zeh. So what's the ba'avor zeh? So the Gemara says in the Masechet Tanachim, ba'avor zeh refers to zeh, which means kazek re'ev, because that's what you can look, you can point to. So it's referring to the mitzvah salayla. The pasuk is on lel, sipetzis mitzrayim. So ba'avor zeh is referring to the korban pesach, the matzah, the maror. Ba'avor zeh. Because of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took me out of Mitzrayim. So it's a little bit backwards. What's the cause? What's the effect? What's the chicken? What's the egg? So the Chavrus says to be slave, the more correct way of formulating the response would have been, "Ba'avur she yatzasim Mitzrayim, hareni oicha pesach batzamor." So the ba'avur zeh sounds like the mitzvahs came before Yitzias Mitzrayim. That first began, first there was a mitzvah, and after the mitzvah, by the way, Kodesh Baruch Hu took out of Mitzrayim. That's not true. We observe pesach as a zeichel tzias Mitzrayim. Eating my pesach batzamor as a zeichel tzias Mitzrayim. So what's true? So says the Beis HaLevi, Gavaldiki Yisraid, says the Beis HaLevi, that we think that the order of things between the relationship of this world and the world of Torah Mitzvahs is in a certain direction. So it's actually the exact opposite. What does that mean? We usually think that Kadosh Baruch Hu created a world, created a beautiful world with so many different things. He created a lulav tree, an esrog tree, a basil tree, a rubber tree. And then, by golly, now we have these beautiful trees and fruits. Gee, let's come to the mitzvah. The Kach HaMem Rishon, the Marashom, is going to create a mitzvah called Netil Zal Minim. So the Beis HaLevi, that's not true. Because Chazal tell us, Yistakol B'Araisa, U'bora Alba. Yistakol B'Araisa, U'bora Alba means that Kadosh Baruch Hu looked at the Torah first and then created the world. So like, Hamdil, the word of the Torah is the blueprints, the architectural blueprints for the building. So Kadosh Baruch Hu first created the Torah. Chazal tells us, we have a tradition in Sefer Kabbalah, that the Torah was created X amount of days before the world was created, before Kadosh Baruch Hu, Bereishis Bara Elokim, before the Rav Hashem created the world, he already created the Torah. The Chokmas of Torah predated the world. Again, concepts hard for us to even begin to grapple, to understand. So all the chachmas of Torah, all the dini of Torah, all the sugyas and shas, all the whatever chachmas, teshim, terushim, nafesh, that's the expression of the ruts of the das of the Ribbono Shel Olam that predated the world. So you can have a Torah without a world. Strangely, you have a Torah without a world. Perhaps that we understand with the Gemara Mizma Sefer Shabbos that the Malachi Asheris wanted the Torah. Why they didn't do the Torah? They're in Shemayim. What in the world did you do with the Torah? So the answer is the Torah is meaningful even without the physical world. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu v'Chachmasa did its follows. Kadosh Baruch Hu v'Chachmasa wanted to create a physical world also. So Kadosh Baruch Hu created a physical world in sync with the Chachmas HaTorah. And he created things in this world that can now be used l'maisa to bring these Elbas al Yonim down to earth. So in the world pre-Bracious, there was already a mitzvah to Kach Tachamei Amarishon, but there was no lulav tree. Kadosh Baruch Hu created a lulav tree, so now you can have the opportunity to fulfill that Chokmas Hashem Yisbarach, that mitzvah Hashem Yisbarach. Mr. Levy says the same is true with history. We sometimes think historical events happen first, and then we respond to those events. Kadosh Baruch Hu responded, it was Yetzias Mitzrayim. What a great thing. Klai Yisrael left Mitzrayim. Wow! Kadosh Baruch Hu said, then we're going to make a Yom Tov Pesach. No. The Yom Tov Pesach was Shar Mikayim before there was a world, before there was a Mitzrayim, before there was a Klai Yisrael, before there was a Mesh, before there was an Ara. Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chachmasoi, millennia before the world was created, already created the concept, already his chokhmah expressed itself. Alel tesvav nisan yafti matzah moror. That's part of the world, that's part of the chokhmah Hashem Yisborach, that a person has to eat matzah moror and lel tesvav nisan. Now we have people in the world. We're going to tell them, okay, guys, eat matzah. Matzah, why? What? It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu orchestrated a drama of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now Yetzias Mitzrayim occurs up to base of Levi to give meaning to the Eftach Matzahs. We usually think Yetzias Mitzrayim is first, Eftach Matzahs is after. It's the other way around. The Eftach Matzahs is first. We have Yetzias Mitzrayim so that we can now, we who live in this world, we live in a world of history, eating matzah can mean something. If we're Malachi Asharis, we don't eat. The Malachim would have had Yetzias, would have had matzah. We need matzah of Yetzias Mitzrayim to come out, so to have meaning for us. Ba'avur Zeh, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to give us, Ba'avur Zeh, for this mitzvah, Asa Hashem Mitzvah Mitzrayim, took me out of Mitzrayim. So shteit in Beis HaLevi. Very, very powerful words, Beis HaLevi. Of course, the corollary of this Beis HaLevi is that it is inconceivable for a person to have an excuse they can't fulfill the mitzvah Torah because it doesn't fit into this world. It's too hard for them. How can I possibly not work on Shabbos? After all, the world dictates that I work on Shabbos. It can't be. That time is automatically mufrach. There's a pirach gedayel against any statement like that. Because the whole world is created so that to give meaning to the Shabbos and Mitzvahs. And obviously, there's nothing in this world that could make Shabbos and Mitzvahs impossible. Otherwise, the whole plan is wrong. The whole blueprint is off. You can't build a building that contradicts the blueprint. You have to figure out how to work it. I didn't say it's easy, but it's doable, it's possible. To say that it's impossible is not shaykh. He said in Beis HaLev. Based on this Beis HaLev, we can understand the notion of Avos Kodesh Matan Torah. Not only not wearing shyness, not only doing Shluch HaKen, we can understand the bringing matzah more and bringing Korban Pesach also. What do I need to exist with triumph for? If I figure out this is what the Rebbeinu Shalom wants, the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted it before there was a Yetzias Mitzrayim. The mitzvah existed in the Chachmas Hashem is Baruch way before there was a Mitzrayim on the planet. So Shmiras HaMitzvahs Kodesh Matan Torah makes a lot of sense. If you're smart enough, you're in secret with the Ratzon Hashem enough to figure it out, it makes a lot of sense. And even makes sense for those mitzvahs we would have thought it doesn't make sense for. So by saying, so going back to the Ramban's kasha. So the Ramban started off the kasha by saying, what happened to the Yaakovina marrying the two sisters? Ramban had developed this Yisrael, Veretz Yisrael, with all those lumdus of Tudim, Veretz Yisrael, Kedush Saaretz, Chibus Saaretz, Karka, etc. But there's another answer that's given to this Ramban's kasha. There are many, many other answers given to Ramban's kasha. One of the other answers that's given to the Ramban's kasha is given by the Brisker Rav. Brisker Rav suggests that Yaakov Avinu observed all the mitzvahs. But he's married to two sisters. That's not a violation of Achaz Ishta. You know why? Because he wasn't married to two sisters. The Isser of Achaz Ishta is when you're married to a sister. You're married to Rachel, and then you go ahead and you take a layup, vice versa. When you mekadish one, and then you ball the second one. The kedusha is not tefes with the second one, because it's arayis. So first you're married to one, and then you're mezana with the other one. That's called achaz ishta. If a person is mezana with a woman, and then he's mezana with her sister, that's nus, but that's not achaz ishta. The word means achaz ishta. You have to first, that's mishta. It's the mishta in the end of Mesechus Yevamos. Nice little anusa. If a person starts mezana with a woman, the kravis don't become also to him. That's the achaz ishta. There was no ishus. There was no kedushin. The opening Rambam and the ishus thought that Kodesh Matan Torah other pagei yishem b'shuk. There wasn't kedushin. Tfisas kedushin was this chadish at Matan Torah. That briskevort, the one b'shevort. That Yaakov Avinu is not shaykh to be volunteer to observe achaz ishta because you can't create the chetimtz of achaz ishta. It's not briskev mahalach. So I stayed in briskerov. That's the case, that the arayas of kurva, we're not shayach. The arayas of kurva is derech ishus, we're not shayach on mantera. Such a gewaldige word from the Biskarovs. How come Ramban didn't say it? Ramban Davka didn't say it. Ramban Davka thought of a different derech ishus, that the ball rolling there, it's a shoshtim of Tera. Why didn't Ramban say this mahalach? So could be this the Ramban Mishutasai. There is a Ramban on a Tera in Parshas Emor. In the Parshas Emor, when the Megadev, the son of Shlomo's Bas Divri, So when he does that, he blasphemous, curses the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So it's not exactly clear what this fellow's yichus was. They'd say the Ish Mitzri, the Ish Mitzri, I'm sorry, the Ish Mitzri, who was he? Was he Mitzri? That would be very unclear exactly who he was. So Rashi calls him Chazal, Balamish in his Gayer. He was Megayer. This fellow was Megayer. Who was his father? Who was his mother? His mother was Shlomis Bas Divri. She was Jewish. She was part of the Shifteka. And his father was the Mitzri back from the beginning of Parshas Shmos. So he had a Jewish mother and a Goyish father. And Rashi gives up, Balamish in his Gayer. He was Megayer. Why is Megayer for? The Mishnah says a Kedusha. If your mother's Jewish, you're Jewish. You don't have to have a Jewish father. There's no din. You have to have a Jewish father. The mother's Jewish. You go bust of the game. It's a Mishnah Kedusha. So what's Pshat and Rashi? The Lamish and his guy. So the Ramban quotes from the Chachmei Tzafak, the Baal HaTosfos, who said a beer in this. So why do you need a Davis for? Because the Mishnah says, the Sukkah says in the Edomah's Kedusha, that even though by Jews, there's a Chiddush HaTerah that you follow the mother, but Umos HaLachach HaZochar. In the world of the Goyim, halacha for us. It's important for us to know who belongs to which nationality. There are different nidim. Is this fellow an Amoni? Is he a Mitzri? Is he an Adoimi? Is he a Kanani? Is he a Amaleki? There are a lot of nidim that depend on nationality. Who do you follow? So Gemara Duras Reposik, Umas Halacha Chazochar. You follow the father. But Klai is a Chiddush HaTorah, you follow the mother, but Umas Halacha Chazochar. So Kum Tabal Yatayson say, Pri Matan Torah, so we were all Rogaim, Robnei Noyach. So the Baal HaTosfos says, since we're Bnei Noyach, Pre-Matan Torah, how did a person continue the line of quote unquote Jewishness? It was continued from father to son, it wasn't from mother. It went from father to son, father to child. Because we were Umas Alach HaKhar Zohar. At Matan Torah was this Chadish and everything flipped. And then you go boss of the mother. But Pre-Matan Torah was born with the father. So therefore, the Baal HaTosfos said, Bidas Rashi, Bidas Nedrish, that the Megadev, his mother was Shlomis Bas Divri, but his father was a Mitzri. So he Taka wasn't Jewish. He wasn't part of the Shiftik. He wasn't part of Klinei Yisrael. Well, Lamish and his guy, Taka was Megayer. They got himself into trouble. He was Megadev, but he was Megayer. So the Ramban takes issue with his Baal HaTosfos. The Ramban says he doesn't think the Teretz is right. Why? He says, the Umos Halacha Achar Zohar didn't apply to Klai Yisrael pre-Matan Torah. You know why? Pre-Matan Torah, Klai Yisrael were not Goyim. They're not the Noach. From the time that Avraham Avinu was chosen and Nichlas the Bris, it's not clear that the Ramban means Bris of Sarim and Bris Mila. At some point early in the history of Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, once Avraham Avinu's days already, Klal Yisrael already shifted to be called Bnei Yisrael. And the din that you follow the mother already kicked in for the Bnei Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, the days of the Abbas, had Kedushas Yisrael. They didn't have all Tayag Mitzvahs yet, but they had Kedushas Yisrael. Since they had Kedushas Yisrael already for the days back to Amavinu, the din of Holach Achar Ha'aim already belonged to them also. And therefore, it cannot be that this Megadev required a real Geirus. So what does it mean, Malamish and his Gayer? Like everybody else, I'm not entirely, they were quote unquote Megayer. I'm not entirely, Geir then meant they got all the mitzvahs, they got a Tosefus Kedushas, whatever you want to call it. But this fellow was as Jewish as any other Bnei Yaakov, Abba Mitzvah Yaakov. So Machlekes Gedolei HaRishonim, Machlekes the Baal HaTosfos and the Ramban, when was the switching point? What was the turning point in the history of Klal Yisrael that the halacha switched from being called the Umos, the Dinim of Yichus, which followed the father, to the Dinim of Yisrael, of Kedushas Yisrael, to follow the mother? L'chaira, this turning point has enough nafkamina for when did Kedushin begin? The Kaddish Av Yisrael, the Echut of Kedushin. So Kedushin requires Kedushas Yisrael. There's no Kedushin for good. Kedushin requires, Kedushin Git in the whole parasha, Kedushin Git requires Kedushas Yisrael. That's the premise for Kedushin. That's the Kedushas Yisrael. When did Klal Yisrael are endowed with Kedushas Yisrael? When was the turning point for Klal Yisrael? So according to the Baal HaTosfos, the turning point for Klal Yisrael was at Matan Torah. But according to the Ramban, no, the turning point for Klal Yisrael was at the Ovis. Once the Ovis were chosen, once Avraham was nichnas to the bris, that was already the beginning of a whole new parasha. That was the parasha of Kedushas Yisrael. Obazoi, that was the parasha of Kedushas Yisrael. So then, wait a second, hold the phone. And that's the parasha of Kedushas Yisrael, then you can have Kedushin then. So in theory, you can have Kedushin. If Yaakov Avinu is volunteering to do mitzvahs, he can volunteer a condition also. So when he married Rachav Aliyah, it was Achaz Ishtai. It was Kedushin. Wait a second. If it's Achaz Ishtai, then it's Gedir Arias. That's what Rabban says, you're right. Taka was Gedir Arias. But it was Chutz Loretz, so it was okay. And that's why when he entered into Yitzchol, Taka Rachav Avinu died. According to the Brisker Rosh, the Kutayra, it wasn't a violation of Achaz Ishtai because it wasn't Kedushin. That's in sync with the Bali HaTaisus, that the Avos Kol Mentorah were basically Goyim, they're basically Bnei Noyach. They didn't have Kedusha, they got the Yichus, they got the Kedushin, etc. So the Ramban is the Shittosa. And the Ramban, you can't understand the Ramban of Pasha's told us, when the Ramban asked the Kasha, this is Pasha, how could it be, what happened to the, what happened to Yaakov Avinu? So the Ramban did not give the answer that Biskarov gave 800 years later. The Ramban the Shittosa didn't give that answer, but the Ramban the Shittosa held that the Ovos were already Kodesh Mekdushas Israel way, way back to the days of the Ovos. But the Ramban had to search for another answer. So Acharei Kechlai Sechor Rabbi says, you can see that even within this sugya of the status of the Ovos, Kod Ma'an Torah, is a loaded, packed sugya. Heimi Tam Halach, Heimi Tam Hashkov, Heimi Tam Machshova. So we had a chance to at least touch a little bit, a little mashal, Tip Ben Ayan, on some of these fundamental yesoides that are playing out in terms of this sugya of Kod Ma'an Torah. Okay, we'll stop here. Wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos, and we'll see everybody bright and early Sunday morning. Okay.